Hey everyone, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Efficiency Bee podcast, where we focus our time, money, and energy on doing all the right things to live a bold, balanced, and blessed life. I'm your host, Melissa Leone. Each week, we'll share some awesome conversation, new ideas, and lots of laughs. I'm a busy woman. I do life with my husband and three kids. I have a big corporate job, and I'm building my dream job on the side. I created EB to share my story, my lessons learned, and inspire you to build a life that you love. You've heard of a queen bee, a honey bee, or a busy bee? This is Efficiency Bee. Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining today. Today, I'm really excited because I just got done talking to Dominique Andreoli, and we had such a fun conversation. It was definitely for the female crowd. We talked a little bit about hormones. We talked a little bit about expectations, feminism. I might have gone on to a rant about Lola and Bugs Bunny, but it was really fun, really interesting. So Dominique is a military wife. She's also a mother of a two-year-old daughter. She's a certified women's health specialist and a personal trainer. So she's got tons of knowledge. Super cool conversation. Let's jump on in. Hi, Dominique. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Melissa?
Oh, I'm doing very good. I feel like I get a chance to take a breath right now because we're here talking. I've been chasing my puppy, who's 9 weeks old, and my three kids around for the last hour. And I feel like I've been screaming. It probably was.
I feel you. No explanations needed.
It's we have a puppy
and a toddler, and it's
it's like nice to sit down and talk to an adult for a second. I needed it. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh my goodness. My husband's out of town tonight too. So it's just me and the crazies. But you know, usually it's fine, but sometimes you just hit that wall where you're like, I need a grown up. I need a grown-up right now. So you've entered my evening at the perfect time. Thank you for that.
Well, right back at you, sister.
So why don't we start with a little bit of who you are and where you come from, and then we'll just jump right in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am born and raised in Massachusetts, up in New England. I do eventually have the desire to move south, and my husband and I have aspirations, but we'll see where those go.
Where south?
Hoping North Carolina, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. So, cool. My husband is actually in the Army. So we do quite a few traveling and meeting of people from all over. We have friends in Seattle. I'm talking to you here in Arizona. We have friends in Kentucky. So all over the place, which is really, really sweet, really awesome. Takes us to all these cool places. My husband was away in Georgia actually, during 2020 for about almost eight months. And I was still back here in Massachusetts, and currently he's stationed in Massachusetts. So it makes life a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for your service. I recognize it's definitely a family affair to be a military family. So thank you for that.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And then we have a two-year-old daughter. Her name is Emma. Well, actually Amalia, but we call her Emma. And we have a Husky Shepherd puppy. I don't know why we decided to take that and put that on our plate as well, but we did.
You and me both. How old's your puppy?
She is currently 9 months, and she is going through the 13-year-old teenager stage.
Yep. Oh man, so. I'm so afraid. We just got this puppy last weekend, and like I knew this going into it, but I keep thinking like, why did we do this again?
Yeah. Oh, I've reminded myself that over and over again. And then she curls up with you on the couch at about 10 p.m. and you're like, oh, okay, this is
and
nice.
And they really are so good for the soul. I mean, good for ours, for the kids, but there's they take work. I guess like everything that's worth it takes work, right? So,
100%.
I mean, so be it. But
if you don't work, it's probably not worth it.
I agree. And you're a business owner.
Yes, I am. I am a business owner. I own and founded Women's Holistic Living, which is a basically it's workout and nutrition guidance around your cycle to balance your hormones and get you the best results. I like to call myself your personal pregnancy, postpartum, and hormones coach. Mm. And yeah, I started that back in 2020, right when the pandemic started, actually, is when I really started going full swing. So it's been about a year and a half, I want to say, of working this business.
Cool. You know, I started a business in the middle of the pandemic too. And I started it in March 2020 and just before everything hit the fan. And I have found it to be kind of awesome to be starting a business in the middle of the pandemic. All of the old stuff doesn't apply anymore. Like yeah. We get to start from nobody knows what the hell they're doing. So we get to make up the rules. It's fantastic.
It is wonderful. And, you know, I could sit like I am right now at home in my office. And like you said, I can make my own schedule and
yeah,
it's great.
And the baby can cry in the background and no one thinks twice of it. No one's like, that's unprofessional because everybody's dealing with it.
This is so true. Like 5 years ago, that was not a thing.
Yeah. I started working from home for my corporate, I used to work for a luxury hospitality company. I don't work for them anymore, but mm-hmm. I started working from home for them in 2014. And very few people worked from home then. Mm-hmm. And like if I told somebody on the street that I was working from home, I usually got like, oh, you're so lucky, or I could never do that. But if I had had one of my kids home, no way. I would have caught so much grief. There's no way that could have happened. And now all three of my kids were home during last year's online schooling fiasco. So it's a totally different world. Totally different world. And I suspect it'll stay that way.
I'm hoping so. At least I think pieces are going to stay that way for sure. I think that society is changing because of this.
Yeah, I think so too. And hopefully we'll get out of this crazy variant. It's just, it's hard not to think about it all the time or talk about it all the time because it's so bizarre. But my kids are going through this stuff at school right now where they started the school totally normal. No masks, no nothing. And then we start really early in Arizona. We started at the beginning of August. So my kids have already been back in school for like 6 weeks. And now just yesterday, they like pulled the fifth graders' lockers and they have assigned seating at lunch because they're trying to have tracing opportunities. Mm-hmm. So now it feels like it's like come right back into my life again, all of a sudden barging through the doors.
But just as you think, you know, we're out of the stretch, it's right back on you. Yep.
Well, and so my business partner is a pregnant woman right now, and she's mm-hmm. going to have a baby in December. And so she and I have been talking a lot about, you know, COVID and she being pregnant and what all this kind of stuff is going to mean. And I imagine you work with a lot of pregnant women. Are you finding their hormones or their tolerance to some of this is more difficult than others?
Absolutely. There's so many more cases of depression and specifically postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's already your hormones are basically in a perfect storm for post PPA and PPD. And now you just add this isolation factor of the variant of a pandemic in here, and they're secluded to their homes. They're not allowed to have visitors in the hospital. You can only, you know, you're so worried and nervous to bring your child out into the public. So that's adding extra now stress to your already stressed body, causing your cortisol levels to raise mm-hmm. even higher, which by your cortisol levels raising even higher, it's causing your progesterone to actually drop lower, which is just creating a ripple effect. When your progesterone drops even lower, your cortisol continues to skyrocket higher. And it, like I said, it just makes a perfect storm of emotions, both physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah, it's got to be so, I mean, I have three kids. And I think for most people, if you haven't had a child, you can like maybe imagine what that anxiety might feel like. But for me anyway, the anxiety that I felt each time I had a kid amplified, like it got because I was worried about the toddler and the baby. And then I was worried about two toddlers and the baby. And it, like, it compounded and compounded. And I can't imagine trying to add the weight of this pandemic to that. So knowing that there's hormone shifts happening because of stress, how do you help these women during pregnancy and after to kind of anticipate that?
Yeah, so the first thing you do is you kind of need to mentally and emotionally prepare them and let them know that it's okay. It's okay to be feeling these thoughts. You're not a bad mom just because, you know, you might be feeling these things that, you know, might cause anxiety or depression. I mean, so often society portrays motherhood and postpartum life as being this beautiful, gorgeous thing. And while in some ways that is true, in a lot of ways it's also not true. Mm-hmm. And so because that other not piece is not portrayed enough, we as women tend to beat ourselves up when we start to feel these feelings of anxiety and depression. And we tell ourselves, you know, we must be the worst mother on earth. We're supposed to be loving and happy and glowing, and we're not. And I think that just causes us to internalize it more. Yep. And causes us to, besides it, you know, it causes us to feel worse about ourselves because we don't realize that so many women go through this. We need to normalize that feeling first and foremost.
I totally agree. And who it's directed at, because sometimes you direct it at your husband, not the kid. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why am I so mad at my husband right now? But you're really not. It's just where your stress is shaping.
Absolutely.
Aimed there.
It's the first person that you see, that your husband's with you all the time. You see them all the time. They know you from the inside out.
Totally.
So you're going to just give it to them from the inside out.
Yep. Yeah. You're at my eye level, so watch out, buddy. That's kind of, I tell my husband, I'm like, the other people are below my eye level. I can't see them. I can see you. So watch out. You're going to get it. But, but I have found that even, I mean, my kids are 6, 8, and 10 today. So, you know, they were, my son was in pre-K when COVID all started. So he did all of kindergarten year in this mess. But I had been long out of the hormones stage. I had even been long out of the nursing stage when this hit. And I still have found my hormones going absolutely bananas. I mean, this has been a different time, I think, than anybody could have ever anticipated for our stress levels and all of these things. So it's such a good time, and, you know, serendipitous of the business that you started. People really need it, like, now more than ever. Mm-hmm. So great timing on your part.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's a compounding factor too. It's not just that emotional piece of the depression and the anxiety playing off of each other too. Because of the pandemic, our nutrition habits and our fitness habits have started to collapse as well, which plays a role on your hormones. You know, there are certain foods that actually many women don't realize that we're supposed to actually eat at certain times and certain phases of the month. It's not a Bible, but it's scientifically proven that certain foods, certain vegetables, certain fruits, certain proteins have certain minerals that will help to elevate or raise or escalate or lower certain hormone levels depending on where you are at the month. Because we as women, we have what we call infradian rhythm. And basically, in a nutshell, it just means that our hormones fluctuate throughout the month at different times of the month, whether it's, you know, your ovulatory, follicular, menstrual, and luteal phases. And the problem with this pandemic that's causing is we as females, just as society actually in general, not just females, men, women, children, adults, we're kind of forgetting about our health. And we're not eating the right foods, which is causing our hormones to become imbalanced even more. Mm-hmm. So forget about the emotional piece, just the scientific piece behind it as well is causing a whole hormone crash.
Oh my gosh, yes. I am not a sweet tooth, or I never have been in my whole life. Like, salt over sugar always. And for the last 6 to 9 months, I can't get enough ice cream.
like, just give me an IV because I want ice cream all the time. And it's so frustrating because I know that's not me. That's not normal for me. So for whatever reason, whatever's going on in my body, it's trying to compensate for something. And I blame COVID. I blame COVID for everything, really. Yeah. So give me some of your best tips for reducing some of that stress especially for pregnant women or postpartum women. What is your best advice there for just kind of trying to mellow some of that out?
Yeah, definitely. So a couple of things that I do. So like I said, number one, I already touched on it, is just letting them know that it's okay to feel these feelings. It does not make you a bad mom. Letting them know that they're not isolated and alone. That's my first one, is that emotional piece just of helping them not feel isolated and that they're not alone and that it's okay to reach out for help. So that's the number one thing that I always tell them. You know, it's okay if you struggle with PPD. I myself struggled with PPD and I thought I was the worst mother because I always wanted to be a mother. And then once I became that mother, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that's always my first piece, is just understand that you're not a bad mom just because you have those feelings.
You know, it's interesting. When I had my second child was when I had postpartum depression. And I think I let myself get out of control because I was so worried about my oldest that I didn't really – I don't know. It something got screwed up there. Anyway, I ended up getting some medication to help, and I was so embarrassed of it. I refused to talk. I even left the doctor's office and then came back crying. I was like, I didn't say everything I wanted to say. And I was so embarrassed. I didn't tell my mom or my sister, who like tell everything to them. And that's when I realized I really needed the most help. So it's like when you're just too afraid to talk about it, that might be the reason you need to talk about it, because it's eating at you, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's definitely my number one tip. Is talk about it to somebody. You are not alone. Don't feel embarrassed.
Totally.
Number two is, get on a prenatal or postpartum multivitamin mood support. A lot of women will stop taking their prenatals, as soon as they're done with pregnancy. And furthermore, find a really good one. A lot of times the over-the-counter ones that you can find in grocery stores or CVS, I like to call it, they just make you have expensive pee, because your body's not soaking them up correctly. And they're actually chemically modified versions of the wholesome vitamins and minerals that you're supposed to have. So I don't actually recommend you just go and randomly pick out the cheapest multivitamin at CVS or Walgreens. So I recommend finding one that has choline in it, DHA in it, B6, a lot of the B6 vitamins in it, and folate, not folic acid. There's a few other recommendations within that vitamins, and I have specific brands that I usually like to shout out to that I give women. So I highly recommend that, because those minerals are going to help to stabilize your whole entire endocrine system, and which essentially your endocrine system is what is creating and helping you produce those hormones. So I highly recommend that. So that's my second foolproof, easy tip that any women can do as well. Mm-hmm. And then my third one that I usually do is I say, exercise, but not exercise where you go out and you're a newly pregnant or newly postpartum woman and you're hitting boot camp classes every day. That's not what I mean. Because your hormones will go even more out of whack because of that. I recommend recovery healing exercises that are going to heal your pelvic floor, that are going to heal your abdominal region. And because of that, what that's going to cause your dopamine levels to increase when you work out certain ways postpartum and during pregnancy, and just in general, fitness in general raises dopamine, and dopamine actually helps to decrease cortisol, which will cause you to feel less stressed and to feel less anxious and to feel less depressed. So those are just three simple, easy tips that anybody can do on their own, whether they're at home or wherever they are.
Yeah, agreed. I'm pretty good about going to the gym every day for 45 minutes. And I got hurt a couple days ago. I like kinked my neck somehow, and not just like, oh, I have a ache in my neck. Like I couldn't move, and I haven't been at the gym now in 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And I feel my cranky starting. Like I can feel the hormone shift in my body that I'm just like, I got to work out or I'm going to scream.
Yeah. Oh, I feel you. I feel you, girl.
Those it's hard days to do it
when,
all.
It is. It's so hard. And, you know, there are some days when, you know, the laundry's not done and you roll out of bed and, you know, your daughter was supposed to sleep until 7 a.m., but she's up at 5:30 a.m. and the dog maybe had an accident on your couch and your husband is away because he's out of town working whatever he works. And you just want to grab your hair and scream and have a minute to yourself, but you can't. Yeah. You can't.
No, you just cannot. My kids, I'm an early riser. I'm always up at like 4:30 or 5. And my puppy likes to get up early too. So that works out. He and I get up and I drink coffee and do tricks with him and stuff. And my kids, God bless them. They all keep wanting to get up early. All of them. Like my 10-year-old's like, Mom, wake me up early because I want to play too. So she sets an alarm in her room for 5 o'clock. No, you don't understand, kid.
You stay in bed till 6 o'clock.
This is my time. You're going to stay in bed. And I feel terrible because I like, on one hand, I want her to be an early riser and to enjoy being a morning person because I wasn't always a morning person. I had to make myself that. And I truly think that I have a better quality of life now because of it. But I don't want her to take my mornings from me.
Yeah.
Such a good mom.
You know, we all need that minute to ourselves though. And that's another thing that I think we need to normalize too, is we shouldn't beat ourselves up over feeling like we need a minute. You know, we're human. We need a minute and we need to prioritize our own health and we need to prioritize our own time. And so many times women will come to me and say, I'm just way too busy. And financially, I'm putting way too much into my kids right now. I can't invest in myself. But what they're not realizing is you're actually a better mother and a more healthy mother if you do prioritize yourself every now and then. And it shouldn't be, you know, you feel guilty about having that minute to yourself to do whatever it is that will make you a better person.
It really took me a long time, like 3 kids and 8 years, to figure out that I didn't have to be their sole source of everything. I burnt myself out so badly trying to, you know, be the PTO president and do all the laundry and do every single thing that the book fairs and the bake sales and the whatever was going on at the school, I was doing it. I was a Girl Scout troop leader and a room parent and like working a full-time job. Like, I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but it took me a long time to like give myself that permission to be okay with not doing all that stuff. And we are all the better for it. All 5 of us, like so much happier, so much more balanced. And I don't know. I don't know if everybody goes through it, but it certainly felt like a rite of passage for me to look back at myself and say, no, you don't have to act like that. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay not to.
Yeah. And I think the way you said it, it's almost like a rite of passage, almost like I can't say, like you said, if everybody goes through it, but sure heck of a lot of women do.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm writing a book, Dominique. So it's called Efficiency Bitch. So the book is the podcast, also is my business. So I am an efficiency bee or an EB or an efficiency bitch. It's kind of like a joke between my mom and my sister and I. But I started writing this book at the same time I started my business. And my business is about time and money for businesses. So mainly process and financial controls, where EB is like process, time, and money for individuals. And so they just kind of marry each other quite nicely. But one of the things I talk about in the book is the history of why women carry these burdens. And if I looked back at my great grandmother, who was 10 years old during women's suffrage, she saw a mother, my great grandmother, who couldn't vote, who couldn't own land, whose sole responsibility was to clean the house and maybe cook a little, because at the time they didn't have refrigerators or grocery stores, right? like the responsibility of a woman was strictly to clean. And then you flash forward into like the 50s and 60s, where the woman's responsibility was still to stay home and take care of the kids and to clean, but technology got a little better. So vacuums showed up, right? And refrigerators. And then the cooking started. And like, then my mom at, or me at 10 years old, rather, in the 90s, my mom's generation was encouraged to go to work. But wait, also you have to cook and clean and take care of all the kids, and you don't get FMLA, and you don't, like, none of that was a thing yet. And it's just really kind of mind-boggling to see how far we've come, but we haven't let anything go as we took new stuff on. As a whole, I'm speaking very generally, obviously, but females in general in the United States have taken on and taken on and taken on and taken on, but they never let go of any of it. So like, no wonder, right?
Yeah.
But it's pretty crazy to think about just the evolution of it all. And now we have a female vice president. So if you had told my 10-year-old grandmother that in 1915 or whatever, that there would be a female vice president when her great granddaughter was 10, she would have been like, yeah, right.
So true. But you know what? You're right. You brought up a great point. I didn't actually, you know, when you think of it that way, it's so true. We, like you said, this is not every single family is like that, but the broader woman, you know, she might be working a job, but while she's also working a job, she's also being a homemaker and a boss babe at home and, you know, being a caretaker and the cook and the maid and the wife, while also being the boss babe in the, you know, business world.
Yep. And regardless of who we are as individuals, that is the collective message that we are being told we should be from society at large and the media and TV. I mean, like, remember, I don't know how old you are, but do you remember Who's the Boss?
Yes.
Like, Angela Bauer was the worker, like, in the suit, and she had a male housekeeper, right? And that was, like, crazy that was even a thing. But she still had a lot of those characteristics that were the feminine martyr who couldn't let go of stuff. Yeah, she had a housekeeper who happened to be a man that was almost like a joke. Like, the producers made it laughable that was a thing. And I don't think anybody meant any harm by it back then. But when you watch it now, you're like, dang, that was sexist as hell. On both parts. But
absolutely. Absolutely.
Remember how I mentioned my dream job? Well, I thought I'd take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about it. It's called 2Sense Consulting. TWOSENSE. We focus on building custom, simple, and sensible accounting solutions to small businesses. We customize a plan based on the specific business needs. Options are available from a single consultation, multiple session packages, or long-term support. We're 100% woman-owned and operated. We specialize in strategy, process improvement, or just some good old-fashioned accounting cleanup. We're here to help you maximize the way you spend your time and money. All right, let's get back to the show. Have you, this is just another thing that popped into my head, but have you seen the Space Jam?
Yes, the old one that was made back in, I want to say, when was it made? The 80s, like, or 90s?
Yeah, it was like 93, 95, something like that.
So that was Michael Jordan. Used to watch it all the time.
Yep, that was Michael Jordan. And then LeBron James just made one that just released. McDonald's has been doing all their Happy Meal toys with it just this year, just a couple months ago. So my kids really wanted to watch it because McDonald's is on all the toy boxes. So we watched the LeBron James one first. I don't remember watching the Michael Jordan one as a kid. I must have been like a little older when it came out. So we watched the LeBron James one. It was awesome. They did a great job. There's this Lola Bunny character in the Looney Tunes. And she's like a ninja, and she's tough, and she's like a hardcore athlete, and Bugs really respects her, and like, he's got a crush on her, but he's cool about it, and you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, well played, you know, that was nice, Warner Brothers, good job. So a couple days later, my son's like, I want to watch the old Space Jam, okay, sounds innocent enough. So we turn on the Michael Jordan one. Lola Bunny is a slut. They've like they've got her in like a crop top with the cleavage, and Bugs is kissing her, and it's like a completely different character and relationship.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa! I had no idea.
Yeah, no, it's funny you point that out. It's because you don't even these things that we are just in, that are just instilled in us when we're young and growing up that we just don't second guess. We just don't second guess it. We just think that's how it is, how society is. I mean, look at our, like I said, I'm going to take this example because I work with the hormones and the pregnancy and the postpartum and the women's health coaching. Take your period, for example. When we get our period every single month, and some women struggle so much with bloating and cramps and PMS and mood swings, and it's almost debilitating for them. But we as a society tell ourselves, and us women are told that, you know, suck it up, repress those feelings, you know, get through it. You still have to go on with life. You still have to do everything you need to do. Why though, when there is a way that we as females can actually help and fix that PMS and that bloating, we're told that, no, you just need to deal with it. Like this is who we are as a society. And I think there's so much that's instilled with us when we're young. Whether you're male, female, whatever background or genealogy you come from, ethnicity, any of that, I think there's just things that are instilled underlying when we are so young that we just don't second guess it. We don't even, you know, ask why are we living this way? Why is society this way? Why do we treat our bodies and ourselves this way? Until you're older and you start really thinking about those things, like you said with the Bugs Bunny, and you looked back and you saw Lola Bunny and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. How come we never caught that when we were 12 years old?
Totally. You know? They just banned Pepe Le Pew recently because he's sexually assaults all the female skunks on a regular basis. And it never occurred to me that was weird. But then I'm an adult and I'm like, oh yeah, that is really weird. Why are they putting that out there?
Yeah.
Like what entertainment value is that providing?
Yeah.
But we accept it as a society. And I think, you know, to circle back the full conversation, regardless of what your household looks like or what your parents taught you or what your partner and you agreed to, you still have that outside pressure forcing into your bubble, telling you that this is what motherhood's going to look like, and this is what pregnancy is going to look like, and this is what it's going to look like later. And when it doesn't, because it's not going to, it can really disrupt. Yes. And that is really dangerous, I think, for a lot of women, particularly like this incredibly vulnerable population that you work with. And some women may not want to hear that they're vulnerable when they're pregnant, but like, you're super vulnerable. Your body is literally creating another human being. So,
And there should be no shame in admitting that you're vulnerable, because honestly, I find that the women who admit their vulnerabilities to me, and ask for help are actually the women who are strongest in the long run. They're the women who are going to be the better moms, and they're the women who are going to prove to themselves just how strong and beautiful and confident that they are, because they realized their vulnerability and their weaknesses, and they realized where they needed help so that weaker, more vulnerable part of them could become stronger.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the first experiences that I ever had with that as a mother was breastfeeding support group. And I felt so stupid walking into that breastfeeding support group. Like, what am I doing here? This is so lame. I'm going to be the only one in the room who doesn't know how to breastfeed their kid. Like, what am I doing? And I showed up and there was like 30 women there, all just learning how to do this together. And it was the best thing I ever did, because it taught me how to breastfeed 3 kids after that, right? I mean, I only needed to learn it once, but I didn't want to. I really did not want to go. It was really humiliating to try to step foot and take that first step. And I think once I figured that out, it was okay and that everybody was going through it, it just made the rest of it so much easier. So if you're listening to this and you're pregnant, get your butt to a support group of some time after that baby shows up, because we all go through it. And even if you don't choose to breastfeed, even if it's not a breastfeeding support group, there's new mom stuff out there that are so, so helpful. And you can undo a little of the crazy or enjoy the ride with someone else one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So can you tell us a little bit about where the listeners can find you and the best way to connect?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am most active on my socials. On Instagram, I am women's_holistic_living. And then I also have a website, Women's Holistic Living. And I am also very active on Facebook through my public profile, just my name, Dominique Andreoli. And on those socials, I post a lot of tips, a lot of hormonal tips, nutrition tips, fitness tips, and just motherhood in general and life in general. So I usually send a lot of women there. Send me a DM or a message. I always love hearing from everybody and their stories.
That's awesome. Do you work with women all over the country?
I do. Yes, I do work with women all over the country, all over. I have some on the West Coast, some on the East Coast. I even have a couple of interested females out in Europe. So we'll see where that goes.
Awesome. I have a client for my financial consulting business, and they are doulas. So they have, it's Happy Birthing AZ. I'm just going to plug them because they're awesome. But they do hypnobirthing and doula services. And I know they're always looking for great resources to pass their families on to after. So I'll be sure to connect you with them, because it's great to get through the birth, and then what? And what do we do next?
Yes, exactly. There's so much help during pregnancy. You know, you have your appointments all the time. And then, like you said, now you have a baby.
Yeah.
Done.
I'm a huge Friends geek, because that was just my era of growing up. But
yeah, no, you and me both.
There's an episode where Rachel's like, I read all the pregnancy books, but I didn't think to read about what to do when the baby comes.
Yes.
That sums up motherhood right
it
there.
It really does.
And then they change so damn fast. Once you figure out what the kid's doing, I mean, you know, with a 2-year-old, like, think of how far she's come in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And then think 2 years from now, she's going to be starting to read and doing math problems and having attitude. I mean, it's totally crazy. My 10-year-old is braces, wanting to shave her legs. I mean, 10 years old, like, I don't know. It happens really fast.
It does. I just
in the best way, yeah. But oh my gosh.
It just blink and it's gone. And it sounds so cliche and cheesy, but nobody, you don't realize it till you're a mom.
And I truly feel like having kids made it all go faster. Like every time they hit a milestone, it's like, oh, another 6 months has passed. What just happened?
You just feel older and older. That's all it's doing. It's just reminding you how old you are.
Goodness, it's just insane. Well, anyways, Dominique, this was super fun. Thank you so much for coming on. And I will make sure to put all of your contact information in the show notes. And I'll tag you on the post when we go live. And we'll make sure everybody gets in contact.
All right. Thank you so much, Melissa. It was awesome talking to you. I love your business, your podcast, and I look forward to being in touch.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Well, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening. I really enjoy doing this podcast, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. If you haven't already, please leave a rating or drop me a comment. I'd love to hear what you think about the show. Until next time, stay bold. Stay balanced and be blessed. See ya!